My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, one of our priests keeps insisting that he says, where you look is where you go. If you're driving a car, you want to go straight ahead. Don't look continuously off to the right or to the left. If you're looking for Christ, then that's where you're going to go. You're going to go to Christ. Just like the wise men, they left from the east and they came westward, or southward actually, to come to Bethlehem. Where they looked is where they go. And if we earnestly look for Christ, we will find him. Even King Herod, who had murderous intentions, he told the Magi, go and look for him. Go seek him out diligently for the child, and then give a report to me. Seek the child. But he did so with bad intentions. Whereas we know that the Magi came with good intentions, because there are people who scrutinize the Bible, who say they're looking for Christ, so they can disprove the Bible or disprove the divinity of Christ or disprove whatever it is that bothers them. That's not the way we are to look and to go to Christ. Herod was troubled when he found out that a king had been born, because he was the king there. And he said, another king is being born. And he said, that's why he says, go and find him. Then come back and tell me where he is. Because he had intended to kill all the boys 2 years and under to make sure that he got rid of this newborn king. What he didn't realize in his obtuseness is that Christ is the king of everything. And that the little kingdom of King Herod was nothing compared to Christ. Christ wasn't looking to set up a little earthly material kingdom. If he had read the prophecy from Micah in its entirety, he would have realized that the Christ child posed absolutely no threat to him. Because we read there, it says, his going forth is from the beginning, from the days of eternity. So the child who was born in Bethlehem was not just born on that day. He was from all eternity and from the days of eternity. So the babe of Bethlehem, whose days were from the days of eternity, could not possibly be a merely earthly king. So he misread, he didn't read completely, misunderstood, and with great cruelty decided he was going to eliminate the child whom he thought was his rival, was a danger to him. Whereas the Magi who came to see Christ were Gentiles. They were not Jews. They were Gentiles. And they wanted to acknowledge Christ as king because it had been revealed to them. It was revealed through them to a much wider world than just Judaism that Christ was incarnate. This act of worship corresponded to Simeon's prophecy when the child Jesus was presented in the temple, and he said that he would be a light of revelation to the Gentiles. And it was after the shepherds who came, it was the Gentile kings who came and recognized him. So this already as a babe, as a little baby in the manger, his mission of reaching out to all peoples on earth, not only Jews, but Jews and Gentiles. Gentiles are what? Gentiles are those who are not Jews. That's us. We're Gentiles. And I hope we're gentle too. Yeah. That, as we read in Luke 2, that this word came out and it started with them, that the world was not limited to just a few Judaic believers, but to the entire world Christ came to be. So this is a far cry from the little kingdom of Herod, isn't it? When the Magi found the Christ child, what they found was a king who was tiny and abject, tiny in body and abject in poverty, not with great armies and great jewels and great power. He was very tiny and was very poor. And this is what drew them to them. And they only knew that he was the true king because they had learned this from a heavenly revelation, that in this child lay something way beyond the ordinary state of him, because the star that they saw was no ordinary star. It was no ordinary star, that this star was in fact a manifestation of the uncreated light of God. Just like the pillar of fire that followed the Jews from Egypt into the desert and radiated by night, it was the same uncreated light, the same divine light. And likewise, when Saul was knocked down on the ground and he heard, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" That light was also that uncreated light that completely transformed him, left him blind physically and enlightened spiritually. So it's a spiritual light that that affected him. St. John Chrysostom explains that this may not have been a star at all. We say the star of Bethlehem. It's because the Magi were astrologers, and so they knew a lot about astrology and astronomy, and so we deduce from there that it was a star, and it says the star of Bethlehem, but no other star moves in the way that this one did. This one moved, instead of like all stars, they go from east to west, this one comes from north to south, completely different from all of the other stars. And secondly, it didn't appear at night. It appeared in midday. When stars, you don't see the stars in midday. Yeah. But you did see this particular star, because when the sun is shining, you don't see stars. But you did see this star, even though the sun was shining. The excess of its splendor appeared brighter than the sun. The star was brighter than the sun. And it kept appearing and disappearing. Stars don't appear and disappear. I mean, they'll appear at night, and then when the sun comes up in the morning, you don't see them. But this star, it disappeared when they went to Jerusalem. It reappeared in broad daylight to lead them to Bethlehem. It did not have the comportment, the behavior of a regular star, until it finally led them to Bethlehem. And this vast, vast star became so pinpointed that it actually came upon the head of the Christ child. So these are not the comportments of a regular star. And it came to the manger and the shed on the very head of the young child. This star calls each of us, like it did the Magi, to begin our journey to meet Jesus Christ, to unite ourselves to him. For this, we have to be honest with ourselves and admit how difficult the way may be, like the Magi's long journey from what is today Iran to Bethlehem in Palestine. They had to go through a long, dangerous desert, very, very, very extremely hot, full of thieves. It was quite a journey. And we have to do something similar in our own lives. We have thieves who try to rob from us, and those are the devils. We have a desert, and those are the discouragements and the depressions and the sadness that we have as we try to be faithful to God. We too have a journey, like the Magi, to go and find Christ. If we want to find Christ, we have to yearn deeply to become totally his, to give ourselves totally to him. Once the infinite light of God illumines our humble intellect, because our intellect is very limited, very humble compared to the light of God, but once this light has touched us, we become insensitive to everything else. What we want is God, and not the things of the world which are going to pass. We want God. Our heart becomes so entranced with God, yearning for God. It becomes so intensely in love with God that Though it needs to use the things of the earth, its heart is not in the things of the earth. Just like the stars, when they appear at night, they may be nice and bright. But when the sun, which is much stronger, comes, then the stars, you don't see them anymore. Their light is very secondary. These stars that we see in the heavens are like the things of the earth. They have a certain brightness and a certain beauty, but then when the sun of justice arises, when God, Christ, the light of the world, comes, everything else disappears. All we see is that light. If you look at water, water always goes down to the lowest part of the earth. It seeks the depth. The water does not flow on top of the mountains. It flows down from the mountains into the low parts. Because like that, the water, the divine water that Christ gives us, has to go down into the humility, the depths that it can find in us. When we have a kind of holy humiliation, this water is everlasting water. It's the water that gives us life. Like the Samaritan woman at the well. And he said, I will give you living water. But that living water is found deep down in the well. It's found deep down in the creeks, in the gullies, in the little streams that run at the bottom of the mountains. This is where Christ will find us when we are truly, truly humble. And with that water, the Lord will slake our spiritual thirst. He will slake our thirst, and we will become, like we read in Psalm 42, that my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. And when shall I come and behold the face of God? This should be our yearning. When you are very thirsty, it's dry, it's hot, you've been working hard, you yearn for water, you need water. And our spirits are the same. When we are working to know God and to follow Him, we have this thirst that only the living water of Christ can slake. Saint Teresa of Lisieux said she didn't want to become just half a saint. She wanted to be a whole saint. Because God never does things by half. God is one, God is total. God is not divisible. And she wanted to become not just half a saint, but to become a whole saint. And she so burned so ardently for the love of God that she wanted God's salvation to be realized in all people, in all souls, especially the lowest ones, especially the worst ones, the greatest sinners. Those are the souls she thirsted for, because she figured just the average person has enough teaching and experience around him to get out of his sin. But the really bad sinners, the really deep sinners, those are the ones she prayed for, so that they could know the love of God. She followed the prophet Isaiah's prescription. He said, take no rest, all of you who pray. In other words, pray unceasingly, pray without rest. And give God no rest. In other words, keep after God, keep after Him all the time. We don't take rest, but we don't give God any rest either. Lord, I need that sinner. Lord, convert that sinner. Bring him your grace. And we keep pestering God, but for the salvation of other souls. And to give God no rest until he establishes Jerusalem. But Jerusalem here refers to the heavenly Jerusalem, which is heaven. So it's to bring great sinners to God so that they can go to heaven. And Saint Therese never stopped begging God to bring salvation. And likewise, God never wants us to give him rest, because he too desires the salvation of all mankind. Christ wants us to cry to him day and night, as we read in Luke 18, so that he can quickly grant what we ask. God wants to grant us our prayers, but he wants us to be after him all the time. Lord, grant me not petty little worldly things, deeply spiritual things. This is what God wants, and he wants us to ask him, and he wants to give them to us. So we have to pester God, so to speak, and the reason for that is because there is a great falling away of the faith right now throughout the world. Now more than ever is the time that we have to pester God for the salvation of souls. Because our Lord very sadly said, when I return to the earth, will I still find the faith on the earth? Meaning that, yes, because he promised that the gates of hell would not prevail against his church. But they will be so few that it will appear to most people that it's disappeared. We are heading into that right now. We are heading into that right now. Every sign around us is visible to that. There are things that I could reveal to you that would stun you. I can reveal them to our father here, but not to the general public. You'd be scandalized too much if you heard that. And he said, when the Son of Man returns, that's Christ, will I still find faith on the earth? We have strayed so far away from the faith. Will I still find faith? What a sad, to me it's the saddest phrase in the whole gospel. Will I still find faith on the earth? And even St. Francis of Assisi, he wept and he says, love is not loved. Love being God, love being Christ. Love is not loved. What a sad thing that is. The thing that is easiest to love, the person who's easiest to love, the greatest love on earth that is infinite and covers all of mankind, is not loved. And that's why St. Francis wept, because he knows that where you look is where you go. And if we look to love, with a capital L, we go to love, with a capital L. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for revealing yourself to us in Jesus Christ. Thank you for revealing yourself to the Magi so they could transmit this on to us. We were not your people before. The Jews were your people. We were not. But we have become your people because you chose to adopt us as your people, and to show us that he loves us in Jesus. Fill us full of love for you, so that we stop looking elsewhere for comfort. We stop looking elsewhere for consolation. May we look only to you, O Lord. We humbly kneel at the foot of your manger, and we thank you for your all-embracing love. Christ is born. Let us praise him. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.